I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy this morning, the second chapter, where the Apostle Paul gives us four powerful verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The call of the church is to call people to Jesus and to teach them and disciple them and train them in the ways of God. Now notice in verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Bible over and over again, especially through the Old Testament, and yes, even in the New Testament, refers to the soldier and what it takes to be a soldier. Again, at this time, our country is knocking on the door of a very precarious path, and only God knows the extent of all the things that are happening. Back in 1983, in our first trip to Israel, our tour guide's name was Nathan. He asked us to call him there, as they would call him in Israel. It was just after lunch, if I remember correctly, on about the second day of our trip there, when you're just kind of gliding in from jet lag, and we'd had lunch, and the spirit of Nod was very much on us as we were riding on the bus and going to another site. What happened was so supernatural, and you've heard me share this, but this is one of those messages that God gave to me that I must keep alive in my heart, and I believe keep alive in your heart. Our tour guide, just out of nowhere, said, you ask the question how tiny Israel fights and wins impossible wars. No one had asked the question. He said, I tell you how. And something in my spirit, have you ever just felt something saying, get ready, you're going to hear something. In fact, that's why you always need to come to church with something to take notes and to write down. One word from God is worth the whole trip. One word from God can change your life. And this man went on to share what I'm going to share with you, and this little while this morning, to be honest with you, it has had a life-changing effect on me. I have shared this in graduations, church dedications, ministers' conference. It's just something that came from God in such a way that I knew that God wanted me to share it. Here this Jewish tour guide answered a question that no one was asking. Obviously, the Holy Spirit of God must have nudged him to say something. After he had shared the things that I share with you in the next few moments, I asked him to clarify a point, and it was as if he had been in a dream. He couldn't remember what he had said. I asked some of the other ministers, and some of them were pastors of very successful churches, several pastors and companions. They didn't have a clue what was said. They missed the whole thing. Maybe it was for me. Maybe it's for you. But I want to share these points that just came to me straight from the heart of God. How does tiny Israel fight and win impossible wars? If you look at a map, Israel is just like a postage stamp in the midst of a giant piece of geography. When you look at all the Arab nations that surround Israel, the miracle is that they became their own nation in 1948. The miracle from that point on has been that against impossible odds, these intriguing people who have covenant promise with God have stood against multiplied millions. And even today, I think their population is only, 6 million, something right in that. And on any side of them are millions that would do away with Israel if it was at all possible. He said, first of all, we believe with all of our hearts that God is for us. I'm telling you, folks, this thing is so much of God that you just it just speaks for itself. We believe with all of our hearts that God is for us, thus God is on our side. Now, I immediately thought of Romans 8:38. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, you can win any day of the week, month, year, or whatever your situation may be, if you believe with all of your heart that God is for you. David had already said in Psalms 56:9, but this I know, God is for me. Get this settled in your spirit today. Believe with all of your heart that God is for us. He said, secondly, we have the best weapons and we know how to use them. And of course, it's very interesting as you stand there where the Battle of Armageddon will one day take place and you see fighter planes from our very own plant here in this area fly off. You'll hear a sonic boom in a while. They come back in and they no sooner land than they go out of sight into underground facilities. They don't say much about that. I've just watched it over the years. It's very interesting. Israel has extremely good weapons and they know how to use them. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5 said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I want you to listen to Pastor Bob Nichols this morning. There are things in my life today, things in the life of this church, and things in your life and in your family, you don't have the answer to those things. You can do everything within your power to beat down the door, to try to verbally make things come to pass. You can push and you can shove. You can threaten or you can speak softly. But except God build the city, the watchman wakes in vain. There are things in my life today, while I can look at many, many victories, there's always some interesting opportunities to realize that we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And even though God, we believe, is for tiny Israel, and even though they do have the best weapons and they know how to use them, when you're outnumbered 5 or 6 or 10 to 1, you'd better know something more than the weapons that you're trying to use. And that was the story of Jehoshaphat and David and countless others throughout the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Paul was the one that said, if God be for us, who can be against us? God doesn't go by the latest opinion polls. God doesn't go by, well, what do you think about it? I get so weary of television. Well, what do you think about it? And somebody who didn't have enough sense to get out of bed straight that morning begins to spout off some of the craziest things you've ever heard in your life. I don't care what the man on the street says about it. I want to know, what does God say about it? I'm not concerned about someone who has no fear of God, no relationship with God, could care less about the Ten Commandments or anything else that comes from God to tell me what God ought to do. David, though outnumbered by numbers and by however many feet tall Goliath was, walked out and he said, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Don't be intimidated when you're outnumbered. Don't be intimidated when the odds are against you. Don't be intimidated when your body is screaming, we can't do it, we can't do it. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? We're not walking in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know where my army is this morning? It's inside of me. You know where my army is. You know where my air force is. You know where the weapons that are so awesome are today. They're inside of me. The kingdom of God is... I'm a walking arsenal today. I'm a walking air force. I'm a walking infantry. I have weapons you can't see, and you have weapons that I can't see. And when those weapons are needed, God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, can pull out of your spirit the power and the anointing to make the difference. Ephesians the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18 said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the methods, the satanic plans, the satanic strategy of the evil one." I'm telling you, folks, I've just had to put Washington and a few other things in the hands of God, which is what we all should do. And keep the switch of faith turned on. God spoke to me and said, it's not the first time a nation's been in a mess. It's not the first time a kingdom's been in turmoil. It's not the first time that a king has gone bad. Be of good courage. God is still on the throne. I serve a God who can turn it around. He can turn it around for you, for your home, for your children, for your business. God can turn it around for you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to stand. Yes, you can stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and to withstand in the evil day. Oh, you say, Pastor Nichols, you said you have such armor. Where's the manual for that armor? Right here. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. This book tells me what's inside of me. This book tells me what I have going for me. This book is my great equalizer. It's more powerful than guns and bombs and bullets and all the armies that ever marched. This is the manual for what's inside of me. Because I'm so much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. God lives within me and God lives within you. He said, gird up your loins with truth. I'll tell you, if your life is only what Sally says and what a few others say, get in the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ. Saturate our children with the Word of God. I'll tell you, a high 90% of television, there is no life unless you're watching Christian television. I don't care what Sally says. I don't care what some of the others say. I don't care what Jerry says. I don't care. It makes no difference. It's not life. There's no life there. This is my life book. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Thank God I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Not what I used to be. Not all I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not where I used to be. And I'm on my way to being everything that Jesus died for me to be. Well, praise God. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's amazing how far you can walk if you have good shoes. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, that protects your mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. And Paul said, pray for me too. So our Jewish tour guide said, how tiny Israel fights and wins impossible wars. We believe with all of our heart that God is for us, that God is on our side. Secondly, we have the best weapons and we know how to use them. Thirdly, he said, we're fighting for our families, our children, and our grandchildren. And I want you to hear Pastor Nichols this morning. Satan is making an all-out bid for families and marriages and homes and children. It seems like the last thing some people think about is the children. People play games with the children, but I'm talking about teaching them and training them, nurturing them, discipling them. There's something that the church can't do that needs to be done at home. We do our part, but you must do your part. Together, we can do it. Folks, the faith battle that we're fighting today is for our families, our children, and our seed, our grandchildren. Fourthly, he said, you ask me how tiny Israel fights and wins impossible wars. He said, we Jews know that we have nowhere else to go. We've left our former residences. For them, this is the last nation. This is the only nation. There's nowhere to go. We can't be run out of our home. There's nowhere else to go. This is it. It's amazing how you'll fight when there's nowhere else to go. When life puts you in a corner, it's amazing how your adrenaline begins to go. And they said, we have nowhere else to go. They've come from Russia. They've come from Hungary. They've come from all over the world. And they say, we have nowhere else to go. We have no other land. And I remember the day that Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, will you also go away with the multitude? And Peter did a lot of things wrong, but he did a lot of things right. And Peter said, Lord, you're the only one that has the word. You're the only one. There's nowhere else to go. I don't understand you. I don't always act the best myself. But Lord, there's nowhere else to go. I don't understand folks hanging out all over the Metroplex, not attending any kind of fellowship. Listen, if you can't find some church that has your brand of whatever you think it kind of ought to be in the Metroplex, you ought to get saved. Somebody's got some kind of a slant that'll flip your switch. But people just sitting home, just channel surfing. I'm going to tell you, folks, God's the one that'll bring you through when the pressure's on. It's like a wife that quit church because her husband said, I'm going to leave you if you don't quit going to that church. And so she stayed home with him. And one day when all hell broke loose in their lives and their finances and their everything, he said, pray, wife, pray. She said, there's nothing left to pray. I'm a hollow shell. Keep your faith in God. Hold on to the promises of God. You never know when you're going to need everything that you've ever heard, and stand on it and plant both feet. I'll share my faith with you, but you can't steal it from me. I'm going to walk in my faith and you're going to walk in your faith. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we'll just plant both feet and just say, praise God, I shall not be moved. We have no other place to go. And then he went on to say, you ask how tiny Israel can fight and win impossible wars. And it was number five. He said, we're willing to give our lives, our fortune, and our all to keep our nation free. We're willing to give everything we have to keep our nation free. You know, a good church is worth fighting for. Relationships will be tested. Sometimes the greatest test you'll have of your Christian relationship is right in the house of God. Family has a way of rubbing on you, in or out of church. Are you big enough to stand up and release forgiveness and release love and pray for someone? Refuse to get bent out of shape and all caught up in a spirit of offense? And if it's not for you, well, I heard what they did to so-and-so, so I go over and get involved in his offense, so now we're both mad at the world. Boy, that's a terrible way to live. He said, we're willing to give our lives, our fortune, our all to keep our nation free. Man, when I heard that, something just went up and down my spine. And I was writing just as quickly as I could write because I knew the Spirit of God was saying something that needed to be heard. And then finally, this Jewish tour guide, he said, "You ask how tiny Israel can fight and win impossible wars?" He said, "We're more stubborn than our enemies. We fight until we win. We don't quit. We're more stubborn than our enemies." I like what the late John Osteen said. He said there was a time in his life when he had fear of heights. One day he was out on a bridge and the devil says, "Jump, jump, jump." He turned around and he said, "Devil, if anybody jumps, it's going to be you. I'm not jumping." We've got to be more stubborn than our enemies. We will not quit. I don't know why I'd not heard it, but this time our tour guide, who is a paratrooper and an officer, as almost all of them serve in the military there, he said that part of the training for all Israeli soldiers is to take them to spend some time at Masada. And I'll grant you that those people in Masada faced some of the most threatening and detrimental circumstances that anybody on the face of God's earth could ever face. And finally, rather than be taken captive, they just took their life. Now, in one way, the world would say that's noble. But the officers of the Israeli army, they bring those young soldiers and they spend some time in Masada and they say, "Get one thing straight. We're not of those that quit. We go down in honor. If we're going to go out, we'll go out with honor. Remember Masada. Remember how many hundreds of people took their own lives rather than be taken captive." Now that sounds noble for a moment, but they said, "No, don't lay down your arms. Don't quit. Stand up until the last moment." You know, if there's something that I guess I have an anointing for, I know I do. I have an anointing to tell people don't quit. And you can't argue me out of that. I have people come all the time. They're ready to quit. They're ready to quit Jesus. They're ready to quit their family. They're ready to quit their job. One dear man, everybody he's ever worked for was wrong. Every foreman he's ever worked for was wrong. Every boss he's ever had was wrong. I mean, everything that's ever happened is somebody was wrong. Now, you know, the whole world can't be wrong and I be right. You do understand that. It's like the mother watching the parade of soldiers going by with her son. And she said, "Isn't that strange? The whole army is out of step but my son." There comes a time you've got to realistically say, "It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." If all my life everybody's been wrong, maybe I missed it a time or two. There might be some adjustment. There may be something that I could do. What I'm trying to tell you is God's not a quitter. He didn't quit on you. He didn't quit on me. We're here this morning because God refused to quit on you. Think back how many times God has had mercy and grace. Man, if God was a quitter, what a mess we would be in today. I'm telling you, God makes Adam and Eve, gives them a paradise, and they blow it and fall through high treason. And in the cool of the evening, here comes God. Don't quit. Here comes God. Oh, thank God, thank God. Listen to me this morning. Don't quit. Don't quit, don't quit. A better car is on the way. Better job is on the way. Peace and reconciliation is on the way. The darkest hour is really before dawn. Don't quit. When things look the darkest, when things look the worst, hold on. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading the Word. Don't quit tithing and giving unto God His rightful 10%. It's not yours anyway. Don't quit on church. Church is not perfect and preachers aren't perfect, but you're not perfect either. If you found the perfect church, you'd ruin it the moment you joined it. Don't quit. Don't quit on your education, young people. Get the best education you can possibly receive. Life is different than it used to be. You'll not be able to afford those Nikes unless you get a good education. You'll not be able to afford the wheels that you enjoyed at home. You'll not be able to live in the lifestyle to which you've become accustomed to enjoying if you don't have a half-decent job. Learn to make some money. Be responsible. You know, as I looked at all of this, God loved me so much that He let me be the only person on the bus that picked up out of about 50 some odd people, and about half of them were ministers and companions. I was the only one that picked up on this. And I've preached it all over the world. And every time I get into it, something rises up within me. And every time I go to little tiny Israel, a little postage stamp in the midst of all of that great real estate, and see how that the hand of God has sustained them, watched over them, brought them through. It's a miracle how that God has brought these dear people through. So, let's apply it to our life. Do you believe with all of your heart that God is for us? Well, act like it. Do you really have the best weapons and you know how to use them? Put on the whole armor of God. Do you really realize that we're fighting for our families, our children, our grandchildren? Do you really realize that we have nowhere to go but Jesus? Buddha's not my God. Hare Krishna's not my God. Sports are not my God. Things are not my God. I enjoy things as much as anyone else, but let me tell you, where you live and what you drive and what you wear doesn't make you happy. Happy is on the inside of you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We are called by God to literally lay our lives, our fortunes, our all to see the kingdom of God and the end time harvest go forward. I'm seeing God begin to raise up some people. You see, God wants people that will trust Him with all of their heart so God can trust you with all of His heart. God wants some people that will trust God with all of their finances so God can trust them with all of His finances. And will you dare to be more stubborn than your enemies? Every marriage will be tested. Every relationship sooner or later will be tested. Real relationships will be tested. And if they're real relationships, it'll make you stronger. One day, and of course, the folks that go with us, we all understand each other. The project of every tour bus is to win the tour guide. Most of them have already been saved a few hundred times just to get the tourist off their neck. It's the only way they can survive. We have a very wonderful tour guide, and God has done and is doing a great work in his life, but we let that be with him. Natan stopped the bus one day and said, "If anyone else tries to badger me, I'm going to put you on another bus." It got a little sticky. We had kind of an interesting crew, not like the nice folks we had with us on this one and all the other ones. One day, Joy and I, he said, "You've been very kind to me. You've been very different." He said, "This has been really some frustration for me this week." And I said, "I know that, Natan. Let me say something from my heart, though. One of these days, when all the pilgrims are doing something on the tour, and you step aside for a few moments and let someone else step in, look up to the heavens and say, 'Oh God, if there is a God, and if you have a son, and if his name is Jesus, and if he's already been here once, and he's coming again, would you reveal yourself to me?'" And I waited I waited for the explosion. There was not an explosion. He looked with the most sincere eyes and he said, I will do that. I will do that. You know, you can't make anyone accept Jesus. You can't make anyone live for God. And you know, when we went back after being away for about 3 or 4 years going to Israel, I asked, what about Natan? And they said a Palestinian bullet took him out. And I, at that moment, said, oh God, I'm so glad that I said all I could say when I could say it. And I believe the man made his peace with God. Because if he did look up to the heavens and say, oh God, if there is a God, and he believed that there was a God. See, the only difference in us and the Israeli folks, they know Messiah is coming, but he hasn't been here yet. For us, he's already been here and he's coming back again. Just a slight difference there, but it makes all the difference where you place the emphasis. And I believe if Natan walked out and said, oh God, if there is a God, and if you have a son and his name is Jesus, and if he's already been to this earth once, if he was the Messiah that we talk about in all of this history that we review, reveal yourself to me. And I tell you, God will reveal himself to you. In fact, one of the greatest things that I'm crying out to God for in the days to come, I want to experience God in a greater way.